Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 everyone, again for another week in the Red Room. I am so excited. I have to start by saying every week as I do, and I say this because with as much compassion as I possibly can through the voice that you hear, I want to thank my two so dedicated team partners, co-hosts, for joining us every week on the show. I want to start with, again, y'all already know who I'm talking about when I call him the hardest working man in Hotlanta, James, who is just, this week he's been kind of chilled and laid back for a couple of days, so I don't even know what's in store for y'all tonight in the Red Room, because he's not rushing out and calling in. He's been laid back, and no one understands tonight's topic is one that he brought to the show tonight. So I don't even know what to expect. All I can say is just sit back, relax, and get ready for a great show. I also want to thank my other co-host, Sarah Lynn, who reluctantly kind of stepped into the role, but she knew, you know, she's my ride or die anyway. So she's just there with me, whatever it is. So I want to thank both of y'all for being on the show every week, and for, you know, the time that you guys commit to being in the show. So I want to say, hey, what's up? How y'all doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fabulous.
I am right here. I'm listening. No, I'm not trying to hide. I'm just trying to figure out why you're listening. Something has to be up.
Why am I doing what?
No, James, he's laid back, so I want to know what he's up to.
Oh, I'm
he's
not
been off
nothing.
For the last couple of days.
Okay.
He's been thinking. So, you know, we're in trouble when he's been thinking.
I know.
That sounds like a bad thing.
No, that's a good thing. I mean, first and foremost, all I can say is he's been thinking, he's been writing, and I mean, I've seen what he's been writing, and when I say to you, wow, give him some time off, and when I tell you the wheels start turning in his head, it's like just so totally amazing.
I've also had 3 days of sleep, too.
You what?
I said I've also had 3 days of sleep, too. So I'm well rested and been thinking.
Yeah, see what happens? Well, I want to thank you, James, for the topic for tonight's show because, you know, we have this thing where we just feel like we think alike. And, you know, I always want to be the one that comes up with the topic. Sometimes it comes from, you know, emails that we get, suggestions that we get from other people, just something randomly that kind of sticks with me. But this week's show was one that James came up with. And when he told me about the topic, when I first looked at it, I was like, wow. This is something that we definitely need to talk about. And it really kind of ties into what we talked about on last week's show. Because, you know, we talked about how living together and the whole cohabitation rate is rising, but the marriage rate is declining. And it's like with the choice of this type of lifestyle being so prevalent, there's a dynamic in that choice that many people often don't consider as much as, you know, I personally don't think they should. It's something that, you know, should be, it's a lot of things that go into that choice, you know, of living together. But not just living together. The whole topic of tonight's show is stop the baby daddy and the baby mama drama. And I want to say first by just the topic of the show, I don't like the term baby daddy and baby mama. I wrote about it in my book. I think it's something that we need to eliminate from our vocabulary. I really and truly think that it's a term that is something that was created from a certain culture, and it is now part of the urban dictionary. But I think we should just simply call them parents. I don't think it has to be, you know, baby daddy or baby mama, but it just should be parents. So tonight's show, and I won't go off on a tangent about that, but tonight's show, we're going to talk about the pros and cons of co-parenting. And like I said, when James gave me the idea for the topic, it was one where I went in so many different directions with this. And it's one that we have to stop and take a look at what it means to co-parent in all different scenarios. But most importantly, we have to take a look at the most important person in this decision and in this situation, and that is the child. I mean, won't y'all agree that this is something that I think we sometimes overlook and don't really, you know, consider who it mostly affects, and that is the child.
Well, Shelly, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Well, you know, remember, we are so selfish in the way we think and the way we do. We tend to think about ourselves before we put anybody else first. Which kid's supposed to be coming first? But there are people out there that, for whatever reason, they have to put themselves first because of their selfishness. How should I say it? It's always getting back at this one or getting even. All of this have to come before the children, and when that happens, the children end up suffering.
Exactly. James, I want to ask you before we dive in. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Where do these children who end up suffering end up? And then we blame the children. We don't have to, it's not the children we're supposed to be blaming, it's the parents.
Right. Absolutely. James, before we dive into the topic, help our listeners understand, and I know we've talked about this, but help our listeners understand what brought you to feeling that this was a topic that we should discuss tonight.
What gave me the idea was a friend of mine, a longtime friend since elementary school, had texted me the other morning, and I hope she's listening on the show right now, because I told her that this was the topic for the day, and she said she will call in. So if you're listening, thank you for your contribution and helping us out with the show tonight. But the idea was basically co-parenting, and in her text to me on Tuesday morning, she basically was saying that she wants to have a child, and she was explaining to me how a friend of hers, who happens to be gay, has a child through, I believe it's artificial insemination, something like that, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
I basically, out of the conversation in her head, I basically told her, so basically what you're trying to do is you're trying to co-parent with someone. And once we had ended that conversation, it brought my mind to think about friends that I know who have kids, gay or straight, but they're not with the child's parents. A lot of them are single parents that have sole custody of the child and they don't see the other parent. Or you have some who, like me growing up, I was back and forth between my mother and my father's house due to the divorce. And not that it's a bad thing. Sometimes it can't go as planned, it can't go as well as you hope it to be. But one thing that me and Shelly talked about was people have to realize, you know, how it's going to affect your child. And then the other thing topic was gay and lesbian co-parenting and adoption and artificial insemination along those lines. So that's kind of how I came up with this tonight. And it's a touchy subject. Some people don't want to talk about it because they know that they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing, like blaming the kids and bringing the kids into their drama with their quote-unquote baby daddy or baby mama. But one thing, like I said before, one thing you have to realize is you can't put the blame on the child. You can't make your child seem like everything is their fault. And you also cannot allow your significant other to talk to your child about their other parent, be it their father who is not there for them, or their mother, whatever the case may be. So that's just a little brief summary that we can get into later on tonight.
Okay. I just felt like when he gave me the topic, it was one that I felt that needed to be discussed, and also it's one that we don't want to discuss. I think it's because we as adults feel that we can take responsibility for our own actions. I mean, most of our shows have been about relationships and what we have done and what we will do and what we shouldn't do and that kind of thing. But it's more about us as an adult and the decisions that we make for ourselves in relationships. But what really got me with this is one that it hits close to home for myself. But I know that I've had several conversations with so many people, and I've seen, I mean, being a single parent is the majority versus the minority. And then in my book, I even wrote about how my son kind of did the equation and the math of how many kids he went to school with where there were two parents in the household versus the one parent in the household, and how when he did the math, he came up with the whole theory of, wow, if, you know, this is what it's like now, which is in line with, what I read in Hill Harper's book. It's like where we're going from, moving forward in the future. And it's not something that I think that we can stop. I think at some point, we're going to continue along that road of raising children in two different households. I would love to see us getting back to that place where we have children and both parents in the child's life in the same home. But, it's a dream, maybe one that I will never see. But at least if that won't come to pass, we will find ways to create a healthy environment for the children if they are in a co-parenting kind of relationship. I want to start by saying that this, I truly believe, is the first step. We all know that we sometimes can't control or we've made choices that weren't the best for ourselves that have resulted in bringing a life into the world that we're now responsible for. We could say that as being single, and we can also say that as being married. Sometimes things just happen the way that they do. You can't change it. But what you can do is try to make sure that that life that you brought into the world is not affected in a way that it affects their life and their future. So in understanding that, we have to know and understand that having children and being in relationships, it's difficult. So we have to know that if I've made a choice to be with this person and to have a child and it didn't work out, and now that person and I are no longer together, what is the first step I can take into making sure that my child is not affected in a negative way in the long run? It's going to affect them, yes, but in the long run, that's what we have to look at. And I will say, first and foremost, the first step you have to take is you have got to get over the ex. If you are not in a relationship with this person anymore, for whatever reason you decided to part ways, you have to do what you need to do within yourself as a person first. Before a parent, as a person first, you have to move past that relationship ending. So, it's sad, but the majority of the baby daddy and the baby mama drama comes from one or both parents not accepting that the relationship is over, still having a need to be involved in their ex's life, not the child's life. Don't misunderstand that, because sometimes they can make it appear on the surface as if it's being involved in the child's life, but it's really not. It's being involved in the ex's life. And they have a tendency to direct their pain and their anger towards the other person, and sometimes towards the child, which is, in a way, it truly is displaced anger. And too many times, the best interest of the child was it the first priority? I mean, if the best interest of the child was the first priority, I'm just going to put it out there and say this, and maybe somebody will disagree with me, and somebody will say, you know what, you have some nerve to be able to say this. But I will say, if the best interest of the child was put first, then the two people would have made every attempt that they could have to avoid the breakup. But let's just say that every attempt was made. Because, I mean, James, don't you think sometimes the people just walk away from a relationship when they really didn't do what they needed to do to make it work?
Yeah, I was going to say, I totally agree with you.
And it doesn't always work.
I really do agree with that.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, the best interest of the child should be, especially with, it's something different when you have two single people, neither one of you have kids, no children are involved, and you just say, you know what, hey, this isn't working for me, and you go your separate ways. But when you have a child involved and you've decided, because bottom line, you decided to bring a child into this world, so now you've added someone else into the mix. If the fixing the relationship or making the relationship work isn't something that comes first because of the child, and it didn't work, then, you know, that's, at least you can say you tried. But let's just say it didn't work. So now you have a situation where it's both parents raising the child separately. And sometimes it is healthier for both parents to move on, because in some situations it's unhealthy for the two parents to be together for whatever reason. But the thing you have to remember is, you want to keep the child protected from the ugly stuff, whether it's what you say or what you feel. And I understand that pain is often hard to control, but our children don't make the choice to be caught up in the web of the not-so-good choices that we make as parents. So don't make them to be the ones that have to suffer any more than they have to, or as little as they have to. And again, co-parenting is not easy. It's never easy, but it can be beneficial to all parties. Whether, you know, it's the two people, and when I say co-parenting, James and I talked about the spectrum of this whole, the total spectrum of what co-parenting means. I mean, initially when he mentioned it to me, on the surface, I had the whole me being a divorced mother twice, having to co-parent with two children. I understood the dynamics of both. One was a little easier than the other, but they both were difficult. But I didn't realize the dynamics that come into a different type of situation, which is the non-traditional type of relationship. And we have to discuss this because it's real. It's what happens. We can ignore it all we want to, but it does happen. So why should we ignore those types of non-traditional relationships and no one is there to listen or give advice or feedback or share how to adjust and help the children adjust in those relationships? So co-parenting isn't easy, whatever type of relationship it is, whether it's two people making the decision to break up and raise their children separately, or this is another dynamic, two single people who are co-parenting but join a partner who also has children. It's a lot to think about. So what I did was I kind of came up with questions, just ideas, just things, because, I mean, James, you know how it is when you write and you have a topic, mm-hmm. It's like your mind just kind of goes everywhere. And I had like three pages, but I kind of narrowed it down. But I want to throw these questions out there. And anyone who has a comment or has something to share, who wants to share their experience, I'm more than welcome you to do so. I have a few people who I've spoken to who are going to try to call in tonight to share their opinions and their experiences, and I'm hoping that they get a chance to. So if they do, that would be just so totally awesome. If they would like to be able to do that, please press 1 on your phone so I'll be able to see in the studio that you have something that you want to share, and I will open up the line for you to be able to share with us on the show tonight. I want to throw some questions out there and tell me how do you think this could possibly be addressed or something that we should even be considered. Now, some of my questions may be questions that some people may say, oh, I don't even think that's something that needs to be considered in a relationship like this. But let's start with the non-traditional relationship. We can go there because this is what we talk about in the red room. We talk about everything. How do you think you can explain to your child who has, let's just say, there's a child who, a son, who the mom and the dad didn't work out. The mom has the son the majority of the time, but shares custody with the father. But at some point between the mom and the dad separating, the dad realizes or comes to a point of being able to live in a way that is true to himself, and he's now gay. His partner is now a man. How do you think that it should be explained to the child? Or should it be explained to the child? And if it should, is there a time limit? Is there an age? What is the what do you think would be the benefit of the child in this type of scenario?
I do believe that there should definitely be a. I don't want to put a number on age. I don't want to say that, but there should be a point in the child's life as they're growing up and maturing. That's when you should be able to explain to them. I mean, after depending on how long you all have been together, or the father and the significant other, they'll kind of pick up, okay, well, my dad is with a man, or he has interest in men. I'll just say that. Or vice versa, my mom is interested in women. And this a woman that she's been bringing around has become another parental figure in my life. So I just want to throw them out there randomly. Maybe around ages 12 or 13 when a child is starting to go through puberty and they're starting to ask questions about the parents' breakup and how they got to be here on Earth. That's when you should be able to explain to your child, you know, what's going on. You know, this is the situation. Your mom and I didn't work out. I had an interest in a man or a woman, and this is who I am now. But that doesn't take away from me being your mother or your father. And you also have another person who's going to be in your life as a additional mother or an additional father who's going to be here and love you unconditionally just like me and your biological parent are. Some people might understand it. And it's actually something that I read in my research last night. Many school districts have put in place programs, not really programs, but counselors within the school to help children cope with this. Of course, you want to have your children, schoolmates who are going to bully them and talk about them because they may know that, hey, you know, your father's gay, but my parents are a man and a woman, and they're married just like they should be in the Bible. So you have all types of different scenarios that are going to happen in your child's life, which are going to lead them to have low self-esteem, problems at home because people are talking about them at school, or basically just judging them. So you have to be able to explain to your child in a mature way, you know, the circumstances of their upbringing. You have to be able to allow your child to speak their mind to you in a respectful manner, of course, but you have to be able to answer their questions as far as, you know, what happened with the parents, how did I get on this earth, do I really have a father, do I really have a mother, well, of course you're going to have a mother, but, you know, who am I about as a parent? Who do I need to call mommy? Who do I need to call daddy? And things of that nature. That's what I have at the moment. I'm kind of going blank.
Okay. You know, my next question was one that you already answered, which I think is great, because the next question was, how do you help them cope with whatever feedback or possible negativity that they experience from the other parent or their peers? Because mm-hmm. a lot of times they get the negative feedback, and because of the whole not getting over your ex, I just think back to a situation where a guy friend of mine who dated, who's his girlfriend and his daughter's mother, the child, they raised the child together until the child was 6 years old. The relationship didn't work out, and they decided to part ways. A year after they separated, and he was very active in his daughter's life, he came to understand that, you know, his daughter's mother always came around with a female. And he didn't understand it. He just thought, you know, this is my daughter's mother's friend. She's always around. And, you know, instead of him asking the daughter questions, which he didn't do, which I really applauded him for that, because a lot of times one parent will ask the child questions that they want to know about the other parent instead of asking the parent themselves, which to me is so wrong. It just should never be done. Do not ask your child, so who is Pete? Is this your mama's boyfriend? Or, you know, so who is Karen? Is this who your daddy has coming over all the time? We shouldn't be doing that. You know, if it was grown, ask grown folks what you want to know. Do not go through your children to ask them questions about the parent's life. If you're grown, be grown. So he didn't go through the child to find out who this female was that he constantly saw around her. And he kind of had this feeling that something was just a little bit more than they were just, you know, BFFs. So he had a conversation with her, and, you know, it revealed that she's now gay. So they talked about the gay relationship that she's in and how it possibly affects the daughter. 2 years later, the daughter's now 8. She understands that, you know, her mom has a girlfriend, but the father, I mean, I guess he feels a certain kind of way about the fact that, you know, his daughter's mother is now gay. I think that probably does something to the male ego, but I won't even go into that. But he had to understand that he can't try to put a negative spin on what his child's mother is now chosen for her choice in a relationship or her lifestyle. He can only try to make sure that his daughter understands that you have a mother, you have a father, we are still your parents, and we will do what we need to do to make sure that we raise you in a way that you will be healthy and happy. So I think it goes back to what you said, James. It's no age, but I think it has to do with a certain sense of maturity. I didn't ask him because I didn't, you know, at the time we talked about this, and I guess he's somebody that I really should have reached out to have on the show tonight, but with everything that was going on, I didn't get a chance to ask him, has the mother explained that she's gay? He just simply said that the mother has just, you know, made it very clear that she has this is her female friend. She's never addressed her as the mother because the mother's not sure where this relationship is going. So I think that was good for her, not to kind of push in the whole you have a second mother, but to still co-parent with the father to raise the child in the way that they feel is in the best interest of the child. I have a few more questions, and I'm going to open up the line for another caller who has let us know that they have something that they want to share. And at any time, if that caller wants to just jump in, I welcome it. I welcome you as part of our panel tonight. Since you are the very first person on the call tonight, other than the co-host who has something that they want to share, I'm only going to say the last three numbers of your phone number are 7377. It's a Maryland exchange, I believe it is, 240. So I welcome you, caller, to the Red Room. If you have something that you'd like to share with us, please do. We have lots of questions, and I'm hoping that you will be able to chime in and give us your feedback or your experience.
You can hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. I wanted to talk a little bit about the traditional parenting. I myself am a single parent raising my daughter. Her father has another child as well. But when it comes down to our child, we do everything together. We still parent her as though we are like in the same household, even though we live in two different homes. We can speak on anything regarding to our daughter without any confrontation. I guess more or less we've grown to the point in our lives where we are really good friends, like where we were in the beginning of our relationship before we brought a child into it. Not to say a child puts a strain on your relationship, but sometimes it can, along with financial and, you know, the hopes and aspirations that you look forward to being in a relationship don't always pan out. We were able to still hold on to what we were prior to our relationship, even though it didn't work for he and I. We have this child, which is this bond that we hold so dear that it's impenetrable, you know. And even though we aren't together, we still do things together for the sake of her, to give her that sense of, I have a mother and a father. I can call my mom and my dad to do something, and we'll all be there together. Not to say, like, we're putting on this front, like, oh, we're just, you know, perfect people who work it out. But we've gotten to that point in our lives, even though it was kind of hard in the beginning, we worked through all the transgressions to get where we are today. And I don't see that often. You always hear, like, you know, how you reference the baby mother and the baby father where, oh, yeah, I need to call him so I can get some money from him. Or he's a deadbeat dad. He's not paying his child support. You know, things of that nature. If you just sit down and talk to an individual and find out where they are, I'm pretty sure you can get so much further than as opposed to, like, bringing the courts and you know, into the system and I mean, into your relationship, trying to get them to get something out of that person that you probably couldn't. You could probably get out of them more than if you had did those type of, you know, things. And I just believe that if you work at anything, you can make it happen.
I have a question for Paula.
Okay.
Paula, tell me something. What kind of household were you grew up in?
I was raised by my mother and my grandmother.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Did you not see the difference? Do you see the correlation to you raising your child to your mother and your grandmother raising you? Do you see similarities?
Not in so much, because my dad left when I was like two, and I didn't see him again until I was like an adult. Now, with her father, we were together up until she was six or seven, and we split, you know, on different terms because, in all actuality, we didn't work on it the way we should have. So that's why I think we can come together now in the end, be like, okay, I respect you now because we were young and we had to grow up and mature. And in doing so, we still remain, you know, respectful to each other. Like, I never talked ill to my daughter in regards to her father, and he never spoke ill about me to our daughter. Even if, at some point we couldn't stand each other, I still would, you know, respect him, like, well, let's go talk to your father. To this day, I still say, Daddy, have you spoke to Daddy today? You know, it's just how we are. It's not like, I guess in a sense, he and I worked to have what we didn't have because his father was also absent in his home. So we tried to work and are still trying to work on make it comfortable for our daughter where she still knows who her father is and who her mother is and where she stands in our lives. Does that answer the question or no?
Yes, it did answer my question, and I would commend you on the raising of your daughter. But why I ask the question is because, to me, these things have a habit of starting from the treatment your parents gave to you. You try to instill it in your children. If your parents instill the kind of relationship that you were looking for, although you didn't have a 100% daddy figure in your life, you would see where you're, whatever it is you're doing, which is, if whatever it is was wrong, it will give you the opportunity to look at yourself and ask yourself, is that the way my parents raised me? Was that
so
the accomplishment
that that's the accomplishment that she made. I see what you're saying. It's like she saw that there was no father figure in her life. He saw there was no father figure in his life. So they didn't want to be to raise their daughter as a product of their own environment, which is totally opposite
right.
from what a lot of people say, is that you are a product of your environment. If you were raised in a single-parent household, then you'll have kids that are raised in a single-parent household, and that this one parent will be absent. But in spite of what society thinks that we kind of create as a result of what has happened in our childhood, they took their own experiences and turned it around to make a better situation than they experienced for their own child.
Exactly.
And for them, I mean, a caller, I have to truly applaud you and your daughter's father. I mean, he should never be considered, you know, baby daddy, and I'm sure he never considers you as baby mama. You're the child's mother. He's the child's father. And that so takes away the negative image of what co-parenting really is all about. I mean, if we could really come together and do this in a way that just puts people in a mindset like you are, can you imagine how many healthy children that we would actually be raising? Because that has to be the key. That really and truly has to be the key.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. We're trying.
I mean, it's one of those where, you know, I really want to seek you out and see if we can find some way to get you to do some parenting classes. Because I think with the tools that you've used, you and your daughter's father, I think he could probably teach men. I mean, and nobody has. There's no rules. There's no guide for this. If we could help each other learn how to do it a different way than what we've heard it being done, that we have a tendency to, you know, kind of
imitate
what's being done, it's really about the best interest of our children. It really is.
It really is.
Like you said, you needed to mature. So, you know, you had some things that you had to do within yourself to grow. We have so many people out here that are having children that need a certain sense of maturity, but they don't have any way for them to learn how to mature. So, you know,
right.
it's got to be some kind of way that we have to help them get there.
I also have friends who, you know, were married and are married and grew up in a household with the mother and father. And, you know, when it comes down to parenting with, you know, them and their spouse or their children's father, it's total opposite. It's like chaos. So it's like, you know, it's a catch-22. So if your parents are there, you grew up in a household with your mom and dad, and, you know, he grows up in a household with his mother and father, what happens? Like, why don't they work out?
Exactly.
When they come together and they have children, why don't they work out? Who drops the ball? Where does it waver? What happens? But you had that strong foundation, unless the foundation wasn't that strong, but you still had the two symbols, the mother and the father in the home. But what happened, you know? It's like, do you try harder because you were raised without a parent, you know, just a single parent? And you know, when you have two parents, you don't try so hard, like, because you think it's supposed to be natural. You don't see the work or the effort putting forth into it. So it's a question to be asked to many people coming from different backgrounds. I guess it's all in the person's mindset.
And there's no guarantee. That's the thing. There's no guarantee that any relationship is actually going to work. But when you bring
right.
a child into the situation, it just creates a whole different situation that you have to look at it from a different perspective. I mean, me personally being married twice, I mean, the first time I didn't look at the what's going to happen now that my daughter and you know, her dad are not going to be, we're all not going to be in the same household together. But one of the things that I did do was to make sure that in spite of the fact that he wasn't around, I made it so that he had every opportunity that he wanted to spend time with his daughter. I never did the whole, you know, I'm angry with him because things didn't work out, or he's angry with me because things didn't work out. So when he's supposed to get his daughter, he takes it out on me and thinking that, well, she probably has plans, so I'm going to mess up her plans. And, you know, it's so many things that go into it. And when I say these types of things, it really does happen because, I mean, at one scenario that I wrote about in the book, this woman who had she had a child with a man who she got over him because it was an abusive relationship. She finally got the courage to walk away. But when she did, he couldn't move past it. So he took every opportunity that he could to make her life miserable, not considering what it was doing to the child. So when he would say, I'll take our daughter for the weekend, and he's supposed to pick her up at 6 o'clock on Friday, he doesn't show up. But when she calls him, he doesn't answer the phone. And this little girl is waiting for her daddy. She's waiting for daddy to come because she's excited, but daddy doesn't show. So now the mother is sitting there trying to figure out, what do I say to her, because I know she's got her bags packed waiting for daddy to come pick her up. What do I say to her? But instead of her saying, oh, your daddy's a liar, he said he was coming and he didn't, she didn't do that. She took the focus off the fact that her dad didn't, that the child's father didn't show up. And it became, now, did she have plans for the weekend? She clearly said to me, I'm so excited because I have a weekend to myself. I'm not going to do absolutely nothing. I'm going to clean my house and I'm just going to relax for the weekend. It wasn't even about her dating someone else because she wasn't in that place, but he thought of it as that way. But instead of her making the negative comments about the father because he didn't show up, she diverted the attention away from the fact that the dad didn't show up, just simply said, let's go to the movie, or let's go to McDonald's, or let's do something to take her attention off of the fact that her dad didn't show up, and just told her, as soon as daddy calls, we'll go meet him to pick you up. So she constantly compensated for the fact that the father was taking, and this is where the baby daddy drama comes in, because that's still drama. Even though he didn't say anything or do anything, it created drama in that child's life, because now the child is feeling the effects of the father taking out on the mother, you know, his anger. So when you have two parents that can respect each other enough and say, hey, you know what, we're not getting along, but it's not gonna affect the child, that is something that really needs to be dealt with. So again, caller, I say, I'm going to have to ask you to reach out to us, because we may have to see how we can get some parenting classes to just, you know, help people understand the best way to have that kind of relationship that you have with your daughter's father, and how the two of you and your daughter can co-parent in a way that it seems to be a very healthy relationship. Now, I'm going to ask another question. And these are things that come up that sometimes we don't think about, that I know happen. And it's one of those where when the partner becomes a co-parent, so now you have three people in this situation. You have the parent, who is the two parents that are the biological parents, but then you also have two other people that come into the situation. What happens when they have children? So now you are, in a sense, bringing your child into a situation where they have to deal with someone else's child. that they may not know, be familiar with, or even know how to deal with, but sometimes may feel threatened by you coming into their circle. How do you deal with the situation where your child comes to you and says, I don't even know why this is the first thing that came to my mind, but Sophie doesn't like me. When I go to visit Daddy and Kim, Kim's daughter Sophie doesn't like me. She's always mean to me. What do you do?
You sit your child down and you explain to the child that mommy loves her very much, daddy loves you very much, but if you feel that way, maybe we should talk to daddy and his girlfriend, because apparently you guys have things to talk about. The child needs to be, some people have a habit of thinking children, it's too complicated for children to understand things. But when a child does not understand what's happening in a house, it makes things so much harder. There's ways to explain things to children. There's ways to make children understand the hard little things that's going on in life that's too complicated for them, but on a scale that they could tolerate it, or they could say, well, at least, you know, my mommy loves me enough to explain things to me. I think explaining things to children in a good manner is always the right thing to go, because children of today are very sensible little children. They're not the dummies that we used to raise long ago. So sit down and have a chat with your child.
Yeah, I think people sometimes have a tendency to brush off the maturity level that our children have. I mean, we've got kids in middle school and elementary school selling drugs, but yet they're mature enough to do that, but we don't think that our children, and we teach them, don't take candy from, you know, the little boy in school because it might have something in it that could hurt you, but yet we're not supposed to think that children are mature enough. They're supposed to be mature enough to understand that there are children out there that could hurt you or do things to hurt you. We're not supposed to expect our own kids to be mature enough to express their own feelings. We teach them certain things, but we don't try to understand certain things from them. So you're saying that we should actually sit down and listen to our children and hear what they have to say and assess it based on what we hear them saying. Because, you know, children can be manipulative. Children can manipulate. So I guess the question is, how do you determine between whether someone, a child, is manipulating you or they're just actually expressing how they truly feel?
It doesn't matter. The conversation still stands. Address what she feels is going wrong. It doesn't matter if she's manipulative. She might be lying. It doesn't matter. You go with what's coming out of that child's mouth, and you address that problem with the child. Then after, when you address it with the child, you go to the father. It's as simple as that.
Okay. I totally agree. Caller, are you still on the line with us? Yes. Let me ask you this. I will ask this, does your daughter's father have other children, or is she your
only one
daughter? She's the only child?
No, he has another child. She has a younger sister.
Okay. Have you ever experienced a situation where you felt that there was something that your daughter came back and told you that you needed to address with him? Or they just basically get along very well, so
they get along very well. She's always one of the younger siblings. So
okay.
He was able to provide that for her. She has a younger sister who simply adores her. She cries when she leaves, always wants to be around her older sister. So, yeah, she enjoys it. Even though she comes home, you know, from time to time, from spending time with her dad and her sister, she'll say to me, Mommy, I wish she was your daughter, you know, or I want you to have another child so they can be with me all the time. Because, you know, like on weekends, he'll have both his girls. And so, you know, when it's time to leave on Sunday to go back home, both of them leaving to go home, my daughter will express that she wishes that her younger sister could either come with her or I could have another child so she'd have a sibling that stayed with her all the time. But then she enjoys her freedom of being the only child. So I can't say that okay. she expressed any you know, anything ill towards her because probably they have the same father. Now, had it been maybe a girlfriend's child, I couldn't say. I've never experienced that. But this child shares DNA with mine, so she's accepting of her. And she's never said anything like, why is she here? Why is she around? Only thing is, I wish she was yours, or I wish she had another child.
Okay. I just think that's the way that it should be. And I think that kind of addresses, and I'm making an assumption here, but I think that it kind of addresses one of the other questions that I had that was to be discussed on the show tonight is how do you share you with your partner or their children? And it seems like your daughter's father has made it a situation where he has his own time with his daughter, or he has never made her feel that she's missing anything from him because there is another child. So I'm just saying that his co-parenting experience with his daughter has never made her feel that she's, and I guess I'm looking for the word to say this, but she doesn't feel that she's missing anything from her father by having to share him with a sibling, which sometimes
no.
children do experience.
Right. But these are things that I ask her, though. I ask her these questions. We have a more or less upfront conversation in regards to how she's feeling. I say, do you feel a certain way that she's there? No, I enjoy that she's there. You know, she'll tell me things like that, and she'll tell me all the things that they do together and how she enjoyed the time and, like, how she wants her sister to come live with her. So if anything should arise that she feels uncomfortable about, best believe he and I are going to discuss it. Because even after she come home and he and I were on the phone, we're talking about everything they've done and, you know, like, his interaction with them, and we'll laugh about the things they've done and what was said. Because we got to – I look at it this way. She'll tell me certain things, and she'll tell him certain things. You know, she feels comfortable sharing certain things with her dad that she may not with me. So he and I, we have to keep this communication open. If not, I don't want to be in the dark regarding her and anything that could be important in her life. And the same with he doesn't want to be in the dark. So we get together,
right.
and we have our, like, little powwow, I guess, you know, you could say. Like, this
right.
is what I know, this is what you know. Oh, okay, good, boom, we're on the same team, let's go. You know what I'm saying? We keep the lines of communication open, and we try to do so with her. I talk to her on a daily basis. How do you feel about this? How are your classmates in school? You know, and then she'll tell me situations that her classmates have gone through. I'll be like, oh, okay, well, let's look at it in this perspective. Maybe they did this because X, Y, and Z. Now, what would you do if that was you? So this is how he and I interact with her. We give her, like, role play, and we allow her to speak her mind, as, you know, the other caller said, allow your child to be free, to say what's on their mind, regardless if they're manipulating the situation, if they're lying, whatever. Give them that platform to express themselves. And maybe they
right.
could be lying just to see how you would react to something, you know, be it huge or small. They just want to see your reaction and see how much on your team you actually are. But then that
right.
comes from you just also saying, I love you, and giving them that confidence and encouraging them to be, you know, to be that way with you.
Right.
But as far
that
as
is
her
so huge.
And her dad, huh?
That is so huge that when you said you'd have to listen to your child, that is so huge.
Right.
Shelly, you know, the other thing, what you had a statement way before the caller got online. how the parents questioned their children. What did daddy do to the, this week? Who was with daddy? You know, things like that. It's not a bad thing if we do it in the right way, because we do. We're going to question. We're going to ask these questions, whether it is for our good purpose or something manipulative. But it's a good thing to ask questions, because that's how you get information. But it's how you ask the question.
That is true.
Because
that is very true.
We all do it every day. The children go over there, what did you guys do this weekend? I bet you guys didn't do something. We all do it. It's not a matter of, it doesn't have to be, the children know how manipulative it is, but it's how you ask the question, how you come about getting the answers that you're looking for, that it doesn't affect
right.
the child.
That is true. That is very true. Because sometimes the only way you really know how a child is coping with the co-parenting relationship is if you ask questions. And it's true. It's how you ask what you ask. But I want to say this, that when you talk to your children, it does bring up certain things. And one of the things that I had mentioned, that I had on my list of things that I wanted to, you know, raise as a question was, when you ask the questions, what happens when your child says that there are issues or that they don't get along? It just kind of took me back to my own childhood. And when I was 6 years old, I was raised in Baltimore by my mother until I was six, and I ended up moving to Virginia with my biological father and I despise using this term, but my stepmother. But she never, ever was a stepmother to me. But I had a sister who had been used to being the only child for 6 years. Now, me coming as the new kid, no one explained to her that, you know, you're going to have a sister moving in with you. None of that. I just showed up. But she had been the only child for 6 years, and now here I come. We didn't get along. I got along with her, but I moved into her territory. I moved into her life. And she didn't take it very well. And when I say she didn't take it very well, it was in the situation where my sister used to do things that weren't so nice, and she would create. And when I say children can be manipulative, no one understands. You got to understand. No, at any age, a child learns to manipulate. A child learns to tell untruths, whether it's intentional or for a hidden purpose. But my sister used to do things that she knew were wrong, but blame it on me, with the intent of me getting in trouble. And the underlying reason was, if she gets in trouble enough, they'll send her away. She didn't belong here in the first place. So if she gets in trouble enough, they'll send her away. It was her, in a sense, protecting her territory. And at a certain point, I felt like I have to tell someone. And every time something happened that I got blamed for, no one believed me. And it just came down to the point where, you know, I didn't say anything. I just took it. Oh, Shelly did this, and Shelly was wrong, so I got the punishment, and I got blamed for it because I never spoke out. But when I finally did, and my mother asked me, Shelly, did you do that? And I finally said, no, Mommy, I didn't. And I said it more than once, no, Mommy, I didn't. She had to take me aside and ask me, why do you think, if you didn't do this, why do you think your sister said that you did? And I just simply could say, I don't know. I would say that my mom, and I call her my mother because she definitely wasn't a step anything, she took a look at the situation and evaluated them, talked to me, talked to my sister, and then finally sat us down and said, the two of you belong to both of us.
So there's no reason that you have to feel one person is going to get more love from us than the other. And it, when we had that talk, it was just my sister just did this whole complete 360, and she became a totally different person. She became my friend. Well, we never played together. We always played separately. It was her, you know, feeling like, okay, she's not a threat to me. She's a playmate. She's a friend. We can have fun together. And, you know, eventually we kind of devised plans to, you know, get over on our parents. But to this very day, my sister and I are, I couldn't ask for a better sister. But it came down to the point where my mom had to sit and talk to both of us together, each one of us separately, and explain that there's no more love for one of you than it is for the other. And I think a lot of times that's what happens when you find children that come into a situation where they've never been together or there's a co-parenting issue and one child feels threatened. So it just goes back to we have to listen to our children. Because if we listen to them, we'll hear what they truly are saying. And what my sister was really saying was, I feel like the new kid, y'all love her more, and you're forgetting about me. But once she realized that wasn't the case, then our whole sister relationship changed. So we have to listen to our children. I want to,
Shelly,
at this point, yes.
Shelly, but did you see where how easy that situation was correctable? Now, if your parents had sat you guys down and tell your sister that this is Shelly, Shelly is coming, or before Shelly came, did you see how it could have been avoided?
It could have been. It really and truly could have been. Because had my mom and dad sat my sister down and said, you have a new sister coming, she's going to come live with us, you have somebody to play with now, it could have been totally different. But then here I come as this new kid showing up, and it's like, who are you?
And she was justified. She really was justified.
Yeah, she was. And when I say she did some stuff, oh, my Lord, my sister and I laugh about it to this very day. It is some of the most funniest stories that we can tell, but we know it's because No one, our parents didn't prepare us for the change in the lifestyle that we were going to experience. So a lot of times, the question of how do you share you with your partner and your children. One of the things that my mom had to do with my sister was, until she adjusted to the relationship, was to still have the one-on-one time with her that she had been used to, instead of no one-on-one time with my sister, and it's just me and my sister with my mother. It wasn't a gradual process. It was just thrown at her all at once, and we have to understand that we have to prepare our children for a new sibling or a new person coming into their life, whether it's a parent. I had to get used to having another mother. I only knew my own mother, the woman who I had known for 6 years. I had to get used to another person being a parent in my life. No one prepared me for that. And as children, we have to prepare our children for the possibility of a new parent in our life. When we start co-parenting and then living together, we have to prepare our children for that.
Shelly, let me give you a scenario. Before we get off of that topic, let me give you a scenario. A scenario where communication from the littlest of things get blown out of proportion. You know, sometimes you go to somebody's house and you find a child that's so unruly, can't even sit still or can't even express themselves, that they go into this tantrum rage.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, if you think about it, most of the time, is that child is trying to find a way to communicate with the parent.
Absolutely.
And And what it end up happening, instead of they take the time out to sit down and talk or feel to the child gets end up getting put on medication for ADD.
Oh, God, yeah, that's even worse.
And
because we don't communicate to find out.
Right.
That's even worse. And it's one of those where communication is key. And I guess, you know, the first thing I said in how we can stop the baby daddy and the baby mama drama is, you know, get over your ex. But I guess the second step is communication. It's communicate with the child. No one understand what it is the child is feeling in this whole process. You have to be able to listen to your child and know, you know, what it is that your child is saying. So I'm a little curious right now. I mean, my co-host has been kind of quiet for a while. I'm waiting for him to just bust out and just give us his whole dialogue on what it is that he's thinking. James, are you there?
No, I was 30 minutes ago. I got disconnected and I hit one like 12 times. I texted you 3 times. I'm like, oh my God, she can't hear me.
I'm so sorry. See, you know,
I'm
part of the radio
crazy
stuff.
I'm like, oh my God, Shelly, unmute my phone.
I just want to say that I have someone who is working with us in the show, and I know it's in November, I believe it is. Hopefully I'm not speaking this too soon, but we're going to do a live roundtable show. I have someone that is going to set up a studio for us, and I understand that at some point our co-host, James, is going to be in the DMV, and it is going to be we're going to end up doing 2 live shows. One is from or is off location. One is going to be in a location. We're all going to be live roundtable, and it's just going to be it's going to be too hot. I can hardly wait. But I apologize, James. You know, Blog Talk is we're working with them right now. Just no one understand that this is our first forum. Then our next forum is going to be one where we're not going to have any drop calls. We're just all going to be. It's going to be.
It was my fault this time. I'm in the house cooking while I'm talking to you all, and then accidentally hit the wrong button. That was my fault.
What you cooking?
Fish and grits.
Oh, shucks, man. Hot Atlanta style.
But
I want to
backtrack real quick so I can get it off my brain. I've been holding 30 minutes now.
Okay.
When we were discussing children manipulating and all the other stuff, that was actually something that I actually read last night. How, I'll go to my dad and say, hey, Dad, you know, can I have the new Jordans or whatever else? But I did that in school, so therefore, because of that, he told me I couldn't have them as a result. Me being me, I'm an only child. Yes, I am. I'm very spoiled. I can admit it at the age of 25. Me being me, I will go to my mother or one of my grandmothers and say, hey, you know, can I get these new shoes? Came up. And knowing that my dad already said no. So them not knowing that, they're going to go ahead and do it. Okay, well, he's been doing fine, so let me go ahead and get them for him. And then when my dad found out that I have them, it's a problem. Because it wasn't communicated between the parent and, well, he didn't do this. He didn't do well in school this week, so I told him he couldn't have such and such. So when he gets to your house, you know, don't give him these privileges. You have to keep the same rules within both houses. So that way there's a sense of normalcy with the child. They'll see, okay, well, I can't have my way at one house and then not get another way. It's the same way at both houses. That's one way to help the child cope with the separation or the co-parenting. You can't have 2 separate sets of rules.
Wow.
But you know, at the same time too, going back to our days, James, I know you're not as seasoned as Shelly as and I, but
I like the fact that you're so seasoned. Thank you so very much.
But in the older days, you know whose butt would have been roasting by now, right?
Mine.
Okay.
Oh, I know. No, my parents raised me old school, so I know.
And, you know, that's one of the things that we do have to look at when we have children that are in the co-parenting relationship is that there is the whole manipulation. I had to be very careful of that with my son. I mean, he's an extremely intelligent child. And when I say intelligent, I say to the point of overly analytical. He can analyze a situation and see the pros and the cons. He can, you know, he can look at a situation and say, yeah, I can see both sides. So when you have a child that can look at two sides of a situation, they have a tendency to be able to manipulate. And I've had to be very careful of, you know, manipulation, whether it's because he did it out of anger, because he is now a child of a two-parent household, you know, a single-parent household. You know, he's with his mom, who's single. He's with his dad, who's, you know, in a different situation. And how can I get what I want from both parents? Or how can I play one parent against the other? So, you know, you have to, James, trust me, the Jordans, my son likes shoes. So, yeah, that definitely can happen. It definitely can happen. But one of the things that you have to do is both parents have to be on the same page. Both parents do have to have the same rules. But when you have two parents, that one is still angry with the other, one has the, I can't accept that this is no longer how life is, it creates a divide amongst the parents, but it also kind of spills over into a divide with the children, which opens up the door to manipulation. Because when, I will say this, when my son and his dad and I were together, he knew if dad said no, why you gonna ask your mother? Because I already knew daddy said no, so what you coming to me for? It wasn't even like you could ask me and think that I was going to tell you yes. But when you have two parents in different households and the two parents don't get along, now the child, it opens up the door for the child to manipulate. So you have to have that communication, that means of sharing the responsibility of raising your children together in spite of whatever worked or didn't work in your relationship, and say, you know what, it didn't work with us, and you know what, it just didn't. We got to move on. But what has to work is us raising this child. Because when we brought the child into the world, we didn't bring the child into the world with the whole, what if we don't work? Because when you found out the child was coming, either you knew it wasn't going to work and you should have sat down and decided how are we going to make this work, because now it's not just us. There's another life that we have to deal with, and we have to raise, and we have to make sure that that person is as healthy emotionally and physically as that child can be in spite of the choices that we've made. And you can't factor in your whole personal issues of what didn't work between the two adults. You have to. I mean, again, as I said, co-parenting is not easy, but we've got to step outside of ourselves as parents and say, it's for the sake of the child. If I'm going to be miserable, guess what? I'm going to be miserable because of the sake of the child. Not saying you have to be miserable with the person, but if I have to deal with you and I really don't want to ever deal with you again in life because dealing with you makes me feel like I just want to guess what? I got to do it because we have a child together.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other questions that I wanted to pose for us to talk about is, how do you deal with a child where there is no other parent?
So that's the father or the mother.
Right. Now, and let me make this very clear. I don't think that as a society we are one full of single moms raising our children. There are a lot of mothers out there who have children and for some reason choose to not be a mother. And whatever their reason is, it's their reason. I'm not going to judge it. But the father takes full responsibility for raising the child. It's a lot of single fathers out there. And for them, I have to say, you are heroes. Because first and foremost, when I talk about how do you deal with an absent person, I cannot imagine what it feels like for a child to have to ask the question, where is my mother? It almost seems as if it's sad, but it's like when there's no father around and the child asks, who's my dad or where's my dad? We have a way of being able to answer that. But when it comes to a child asking, who's my mom, where's my mom, that's kind of tough. So first and foremost, I want to say to all the men who are raising your children with an absent mother, you are truly heroes because you are not given enough credit for the sacrifices that you make and the things that you do to raise your children. Somebody's probably going to call me out on that one, and if they do, so be it, but that's just my opinion. So how do you deal with the absent parent? What do you say when there is no mother or there's no father around? How do you help a child stay in a healthy frame of mind having to express to them that there is no mother or no father? And I'm not saying because the parent passed away. That's a different situation. Yes. By choice, the other person has decided they don't want to be in this child's life.
Again, I would say communication. Communication is key. So long as you be honest with a child, that's the best way. It doesn't matter if it hurts the child, it puts the child in a bad mood, or it puts the child in a bad place, but you have to be honest to the point that you say, that you would put it in a way that the child could understand that his mom is not around, but yes, reasons that you can't go into that, but at the same time, too, know that as a parent who is a dad, you are loved. And there's no way way around it. You just have to give that child lots of love, lots of security, blanket to keep to be safe. And children need to be stimulated at all times. If a child is well stimulated, stimulation, what kind of stimulation I'm talking about is your child has to be doing something that keeps a child busy. If a child is loved, you take care of the stimulation part of the child, that child will survive and be very honest.
Okay. James, do you have any feedback on that?
Honestly, I can't really comment on that because, firsthand, I've never experienced that as far as only having one parent there. I mean, I have seen, and I know many people whose father or mother is not there, and the sole majority of their time is spent with their mother or the father, whoever the single parent is. But like Sherilyn said, you can only be honest with the child. I've heard many kids even ask, who's my daddy? Who's my mommy? Where's daddy? Where's mommy? And that comes from them being around kids at school or daycare. And they say, well, my daddy did this, my daddy did that. And the child kind of thinking, okay, well, what's a daddy? I don't have a daddy in the house. All I have is mommy. Mommy is mommy and daddy. It's kind of hurtful to hear that a lot of times for me personally, but I mean, sometimes you just have to, I don't even know how to say it honestly, because that's that's just a very touchy subject in my eyes. I don't know how to even word what I want to say.
And you know, the thing about it, actually, but you know, the other thing that teaching your child to be honest and truthful and explain to them, you know what does for a child? It gives the child a thick skin to prepare him for moments like that.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, and it even may be a situation where you prepare your child to say, I don't want to be in a position like this when I grow up and have children. I mean, it can have a downside, but it can have an upside to it when it's child. I mean, I'm a firm believer that you can turn every negative situation into a positive one, and if it is a situation where a child, you know, is brought into the world and one parent isn't in that child's life, you show that child enough love for both parents, and even if they ask, so who's my dad or who's my mom? You just simply give them, you know, an explanation of who they are and just simply say, for some reason, you know, however you choose to say it, it has to be something that you know and understand from your child, what how they will understand it. I'm not saying lie and tell your child that your dad died in Afghanistan because that would be so wrong. Or, you know, your mom died when she, you know, gave birth to you in childbirth, because you start telling lies and then they find out the truth, then you risk the relationship that you have with your child. But
right.
I think you have to know your child and know what answer works best for them and help them understand that, you know, I love you enough for both parents. And, you know, whatever it is that you need from me, you have it. It's just, you know, your friends have both mom and dad. You only have mom or you only have dad. But, you know, I love you enough for both of us. And, you know, and we're a team. You have to find a way to make them understand that it's, you know, it's not the traditional type of situation, but it's one that we live in. And it does teach your children to have a thick skin and know and understand that, you know, what society creates as a norm is not what our norm is. So guess what? We're a little different, but we're happy. So it's one where it's kind of hard to deal with, but it does happen because sometimes children, you know, are brought into situations where one day they will ask that question. And I just only hope that it's one where if the father is absent or the mother is absent, they don't give the negative response that makes them feel that they were unwanted. It's just one where they understand that life just worked out this way, but I still love you. If there's anyone on listening on the show tonight, if you have a comment, please press 1 on your phone. We are welcome to listen to, you know, whatever it is that you have to share. Please, you know, if you do not have to let us know who you are, where you're calling from, to open up your line, I will just simply say what area you're calling from and give the last 4 numbers of your call so you know that I'm opening up your line, and share with us, because, again, this is not about, it's about our children. It's about how we can create an environment that our children will grow up to be happy and healthy and have a way of, you know, letting us know what it is that they need from us. And sometimes we as parents can get kind of stuck in the way that we know how to do things. But when our children have issues or there's situations that we don't quite understand how to deal with, we don't have anyone to turn to because we just don't want to talk about it. So that's what the show is about. It's about talking about the things that, you know, a lot of times we don't want to share, but here it's about opening up to helping others. So if you have a comment or something that you want to share, please press 1 on your phone so I can open up the lines for you to share with us. One of the things that I want to say is, please.
I have a quick question.
Okay.
On the same thing we just left, as far as the child asking who the parent is and explaining to them that their other parent's situation. What if the child's asking, you know, well, who's my daddy? I'm specifically saying that for a reason. But then you have a mother who doesn't know who the father is.
Ooh.
But
I heard somebody gasp when I finished that, but in reality, it happened, and I know a situation like that. I'm not going to say who it was because I care about this person very much, but at the same time, when this young lady told me she didn't know who the father was, I was very pissed off for a number of reasons, but at the same time, you know, I still consoled her, and her daughter is my goddaughter. And to this very day, now that I'm living here in Georgia, I'm closer to her now, and she knows who the father is now, but what if you have that? Like, what if she grows up 5 years from now, 2 years from now, or even tomorrow, says, well, mommy, you know, who is my daddy? Or how did I get into this world? What do you do in that situation?
You guys know I've always said, be honest, right?
Correct.
But sometimes you have to tell a little lie.
I mean, this is not one that we should be laughing at. This is so not funny. I have to say, I did laugh. And I still have a little chuckle in there, so only because I was not expecting that response from you, Sarah Lynn. But
it's
wow.
You know,
James, I will have to say, you came at me with that question, and I told you, I knew, giving you these many days off and you having to deal with on the radio show, I knew he was going to come at me with something like this, and I was not expecting this.
But, Shelly,
Sarah Lynn, I'm going to let you take this one first. I'm going to let you take this one first because I need to process.
But I always advocate telling the truth. But you have to understand the mentality of a child. It could be a child, a really young child. You may have to tell a little white lie there for a minute. But wait until the child is of good age to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Be truthful with the child. These things have a habit of coming back to bite you in the patootie. If you don't be honest with your children, it come back to haunt you. Wait until the child is old enough. I could say ask.
Yeah, you can say, I was getting ready to say, you know what, you can say ask. We said much worse on this show.
She said patootie, and I died laughing on the inside.
I was thinking she did not just say patootie.
we had somebody say
penis, and she's gonna say patootie.
Well, you know, at the time, I had to say that word because it had to be drama.
It was for the children. It was for the children. You couldn't say the other word because it was for the children. I understand.
Yeah, it was not in the same sentence, but
right.
It's true. You may have to tell a little white lie to appease a child or do the right thing by a child until the child is of the right age to address the situation. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm just young. I'm rarely at a loss for words. James, I cannot believe you did this.
I'm sorry.
But I guess I have to answer the question. I think for my answer, I'd have to say, and I'm scratching my head, I think it would have to be on the same line that Sarah Lynn said, and I think it's one where you can't give an outright lie and say, who the child's father was, and it not be that person and say that person's just not around. Oh, well, your dad is, you know, someone that decided not to be in your life because now that child will have a negative, let's just say it's a girl, she will have a negative image towards men and feel like I wasn't worthy enough for my father to love me, so that's why my dad's not in my life. And if it's a son, he may feel that, you know, the same way. My father didn't love me enough to be a part of my life. I think if you tell a outright lie, as Sarah Lynn said, you have to say what you have to say at a certain point, you know, but when it comes down to it, the certain age of maturity, and I guess it goes back to what, you know, James was saying when we start talking to our children about parenting and non-traditional
types of parenting relationships, or co-parenting relationships, we have to be able to have these discussions at a point where we understand the child's maturity. I think at some point, and I mean, so many people may disagree with me, I think at some point we have to disclose our lack of the right choices that we've made in life to our children in hopes that it can be a learning lesson. And I say that because let's just say I was a mother who had a child and I didn't know who the father was because maybe I was, you know, sleeping with three different men at one time. And now I don't know who the child's father is. I have no way of knowing because there's no way for me to have a paternity test because I don't even know where the three men are. And that is not a situation that is so far from being the truth that it's, you know, kind of like created as a scenario that doesn't exist. Because that has, I mean, I'm sure there's some cases out there like that. But there's this child that comes into the world, and you have no way to even determine who the child's father is. How do you can't lie to the child. You don't have to tell the child I was sleeping with Corey and Brent and Tom at the same time, and I don't know who your dad is. It's either Corey, Brent, or Tom. You don't have to go into those details, but I think you could simply say that at the time you were conceived, I made some decisions that were not the most responsible decisions, and at this point I was unable to even determine But I think it's one where you have to be able to let the child know, I don't know who your father is. And I think the responsibility has to be put back on the parent with a learning lesson for the child to say, it was a mistake that I made in life. You were not the mistake. I made a mistake, but as a result of the mistake I made, I was blessed with you being brought into my life. But understand this. Don't do what I did and show how they can do something different than what you did. Don't make the mistake that I made. Know who you want to be in a relationship with and raise your child with. So it's one of those. I think it's like Sarah Lynn says, at a certain age, you might have to tell a little white lie, but at some point, you got to confess and be honest and hope that it's a learning lesson for your child. Because a lot of times, the things that we do as adults do come across as learning lessons if we teach them the right way. I don't think any child ever expects a parent to be perfect. I mean, I know for a fact that neither of my kids look at me as being perfect. Now, they may give me you're the greatest mom in the world, and I could do something so simple as make chicken parmesan, you know, on a Tuesday night with the best side dishes that my son would ever want. It makes me an awesome mom, but I don't think my child looks at me and sees me as a perfect person. I don't think he looks at his dad and sees him as a perfect person. I think he looks at us both as being two human beings that make mistakes, but we both love him. So
Jelly,
we have to be honest and tell the truth to our children. We just have to kind of dress it up in a way that doesn't, you know, send them in a direction that can be harmful for them. Yes.
Shelly.
Yes.
You just made a statement, and I want you to get to the point of using that statement in a different way, because this is what we do. We tell our children, don't do it. What is the first thing when we tell a child not to do something? What is the first thing that they do?
God,
I would hope you would change that statement and said, I hope that with the knowledge that I've given you, you will make a better choice of doing things.
Right. Exactly. I mean, maybe I phrased that the wrong way. I mean, I don't tell my children, don't do what I did. I just tell them, look at the impact that it has had, and I hope that you make a different decision.
so that you don't have the same end result as I had. If it's not desirable for you, I mean, I can't say that my children look at my life and say that it's unpleasant, but I
you,
do teach
you
them
did it, so
that.
Why can't I do it?
I didn't hear you.
You see it? You said don't do it, but why not? You did it. You see what I mean?
Right.
Mommy,
I mean,
you
I'm
did it,
both.
But why can't I do it?
I'm teaching both of my children, and I have to say this, that, I mean, and I'm going to put this out here. I'm going to say this, and there's so many people that may be listening to the show tonight that have no clue who I am, and there's some people that are listening to this, to the archive show, that are listening to the show tonight that know who I am. I raised both of my children to live by certain principles. I made two choices in my life, and both choices were to be married to both of my children's fathers. Am I with either one of them now? No. So the example and the choices that I gave to them, do they see them as the right choices that I made? Maybe so, maybe not. But my daughter, who was up until 6 months ago, I'm never having any children until I'm married. I want to be married. I want my career established. I want this done this way. I want that done that way because that's what I taught her. I'm going to be a grandmother in January, and she's not married. But the one thing she will be is an awesome mother. So we teach our children certain things, but in the lesson, maybe they don't get it all, but they get part of it. So what I'm saying is we can teach our children how to do things the right way, and maybe they don't get it all, but they do get some of it. So will my daughter be married with the, as we talked about last week on the radio show, with the house and with the white picket fence, the husband and the 2.5 kids, would that be her American dream in January of this year? No, it won't, because she won't be married. But she will bring a child into the world that she'll know and understand, that will know and understand that you were loved. And I'm going to do everything that I can for you to make sure that you never feel the absence of love in your life. So, again, it goes back to being a parent who the child is the first priority. So, Sherilyn, you're right. We tell our children, don't do this and don't do that. I told my daughter, don't have children unless you're married. And maybe that wasn't the right way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but will she be a great parent? You know her. What is your answer to that?
I know she will.
Doesn't matter.
She was going to be a fantastic mother because she cares. Her head is in the right place. Her head is in the right place. Ooh. And she is going to be a fabulous mother.
James, you've known her since middle school?
Before James answered that statement, I have to go because I have a conference call at 10 o'clock. So I am going to close with you guys now because I have to get off. But let me make a statement before I go. James, I know the topic was yours tonight, but my thing for you is I hope one day that you would experience all the love that a child brings into this world. And as I said, educate comes at a very, very young age. We teach our children from the first day that child is born how to play with us, how to do things. Education is a very, very good thing, and when you trust and believe that it works, you will always see the benefit of it.
And
yeah,
we are
going
to be an awesome dad
too. Excuse me.
James is going to. We already know James is going to be an awesome dad.
Yes.
But
I want to say goodnight.
I'm going to say, and I know what the conference call is for tonight, so go get the info for us because, you know, we got some other things going on too. So, you know, we're a team. So
you know, you handle that part of the team so we can do what we need to do aside from this. So thank you so much for being on the show with us tonight. I mean, what I tell you, I got hardworking people all over the place. We're all working hard. And the thing of it is, it's not us working hard for just us. It's working hard for all of us. So any kind of way we can share, you know, that's what we do.
All right.
So, Sherilyn, thank you.
Thank you,
Sherilyn.
Good
night, guys.
That meant a lot.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Oh, so James, it's just us. And we have a couple of callers on the line, and for some reason they're being shy. And I don't know if it's because they don't feel that what they have to share is important, but a couple, not just a couple, but a few. I'm just kind of scrolling through and seeing everybody that's on the show that's listening with us. And I just want to say, if you have something to share, please press 1 so we can open up the line. I'm not into calling anybody out. If you want to share, we welcome you. If you don't, and all you want to do is listen in, please do. I'm just kind of at that place where I'm not trying to call nobody out. But the next question, and before, because you know we have the segment
out.
Of, we have the My Two Cents segment. I haven't done My Two Cents yet, but we're gonna take a few more minutes just to talk about last question. For the last part of tonight's topic, and that is this. How do you handle a situation when you are co-parenting? And this is mostly directed towards women who have children or has a child, and the father is has, you know, visitation or, you know, time spent with the child. But the father just can't get his life together, and he's here, there, and everywhere. How do you deal with allowing your child to go with a father that you know has no personal, it's really not about the child, but it's about, let me just keep my kid for the weekend, but I still got to do my thing and dip and dab wherever I am. Because there's a lot of men who will get their kids for the weekend, and I will say, for the fathers who are doing what they do, I applaud you. But there are a whole lot of fathers out there that have or will get the kid for the weekend and have a faux girlfriend or woman that they may make her feel as if she's important by bringing his child into her life. But he's really not about her.
About the new woman in the life?
Yeah, the new woman or women.
I have an issue with that. And I say that, I don't judge anybody. Do what you do. You know, this is your life. You have to live it. I don't. But, and you and I had this conversation last night while we were talking. If you're going to date people outside of the parent of your child or your children, you need to be able to respect the fact that this is going to affect your child. If your child sees you bring in Keisha, Tanya, and Pam to the house different days of the week in the same week, how is your child going to grow up to think, whether it be your son or your daughter? Your daughter's going to grow up to think, okay, well, I'm dating this man. He has Shaquana and Lisa coming by the house, but I'm still his number one. But you don't want your daughter thinking that, because she's going to come to you crying, talking about, oh, well, he's messing with all these other women. But what can you say? Because that's what she grew up in your house while you were doing the same exact thing that this man's doing to her.
Mm-hmm.
Or how is your son going to grow up thinking, okay, well, mommy had Tom, Kenny, and Joe at the house Monday, Thursday, and Sunday. So I'm going to have my little friends over on certain days of the week.
Right. I mean, it's like one of those where
so
you have to understand the impact that your lifestyle has on your children. And I have a caller on the phone tonight, on the show tonight, that has indicated that they have something to share, and I welcome this caller. Last four numbers of the caller's number is 1976. Welcome to the Red Room Radio. Please share with us what you have to share on this topic tonight.
Are you there, caller?
Are you there, caller? Last three numbers of your number are 1976.
Area code?
301. Caller, your line is open. What would you like to share with us?
Hello?
Yes, are you there?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, James. Hi, Shelley. I want to share my experience with co-parenting, where I have a daughter, and her father and I didn't work out, so we went our separate ways. But you know, I wanted him in her life, and he claimed to have wanted to be in her life, so he would come and pick her up. But first I want to say I was labeled as being a bitch. And then now I want to tell you what happened. He would come and get his daughter. You know, he'll pick up on Friday and he'll bring her back on Sunday. You know, and I would never hear from them. I wasn't the type of mother constantly calling, finding out, like, what are you doing with my child? You know, because I trust him, because that's his child. So she would leave on Fridays and come back on Sundays. And evidently, he schooled her as in, don't tell your mommy what, you know, where you've been, what you did, who you saw. So, and I didn't question her. I would just say, you had fun? She'll say, yeah, and that'd be the end of the story.
Well, so you weren't the parent. So you weren't the parent that we talked about. So where was your daddy? Where did he take you? That kind of thing. You were being the respectable, responsible parent, knowing that this is a man that it's his child. So I'm going to trust him that he's going to take good care of his child.
Yes, I trusted him.
Okay.
It all hit the fan when one Sunday I had a knock at my door. I looked out the peephole, and I saw this, you know, I don't want to say nothing negative, but I just saw a person that I would never expect to be at my door. So I went ahead and opened the door up. And then I see my daughter because, you know, she's not tall enough, so I couldn't see her through the peephole. And I'm going, WTF. You know, and you know, she's telling me all this. Well, hi, I'm so-and-so's, you know, girlfriend. He brought her over on Friday, and I never saw him again, and I'm bringing your child home. I was livid. I could not believe that some strange person brought my child home. So after that, I didn't trust him anymore. I confronted him with it. Basically, he was like, flip off, whatever. That's my child. I do whatever I want. So it's like, okay. But I didn't stop him from seeing her. I just said, don't be taking my child around all these people, all these strange women. You know, you're supposed to spend time with your child, not your child spending time with every, you know, other woman that you meet. So that was our understanding. Even though
wow.
I objected
so
to
you
it.
So you didn't even know the woman who dropped him off?
No, didn't know her. And she didn't look like the type of woman that my child should be with. So it's like, okay. But I still didn't stop her. I still, you know, I just basically said, don't take my child around strange women. And I don't want another woman to bring my child home. You pick her up, you bring her home. So we had another incident where she came to me and said, Mommy, I want to go over so-and-so's house. And I'm like, well, who the heck is so-and-so? I don't know this person. Well, I go over her house. Oh, you do? So now I'm thinking this is another one of his chicks. Here he is again exposing my child to other women. So I said to her, well, if you want to see so-and-so, then why can't so-and-so come over here? So she got on the phone, called her up, and told her what, you know, her mother said. And, you know, basically they were like, okay, well, all right, she can come over there. So that happened. That went down. So when that, the child's mother brought her over, and, of course, I assumed that was one of his floozies. So when I met her, I wasn't disrespectful, but I wasn't the nicest person because of my past experiences. And I shouldn't have taken it out on her, but I didn't know. No one, you know, wanted to call and tell me the situation of what was going down. Like, I'm being hidden. And, of course, I was being, you know, they were telling the other people, she's a bitch. You don't want to deal with her. You don't want to know her, whatever, whatever. Well, come to find out, this was one of our mutual friends' wife. And he had been taking her over his best friend's house, dropping her off, you know, and she was spending time with their daughter. What was the problem of telling me this? Why hide this? And, of course, my impression to this lady was horrible. She thought I was the worst, the meanest, nastiest person on earth. And, of course, she was told that. So I'm the bad, you know, I was the bad person. But in reality, I was not. I was the blinded person.
It was based on what you had been, what you had experienced, just what you had been through. So it was, you couldn't look at this person, this woman whose house your child had been spending time over as anything other than the floozy that you had seen your child experience. You know, you thought she was just like the woman that had dropped your daughter off once before.
Right. And I do have to say there's a silver lining to this story.
Yes, it is.
This happened, I want to say, excuse me, maybe
20 years ago.
20 years ago. And I have to say that this young lady that I thought was one of his floozies is now today my best friend. When she found out about me and then I found out about her, we became best of friends. Why couldn't it have been that way from the start? You know, some men, you know, women too do it, but some men, you know, will label the mother as being a horrible person. I'm a horrible person because I dumped him. That's why I was labeled being horrible.
Because you just didn't want to take it anymore. James, I want to say, and anybody that's listening on the call tonight, I don't think anybody ever really understood the relationship that I have with one of our weekly supporting callers. She's never been a co-host yet. I'm waiting for her to do that and step up. But James already knows who you are.
Yeah, he knows who I am.
Come on, when she first started talking,
what
I don't know
is interesting
who
is this scenario that she described is how Niecy and I became friends. And it was so true because all I knew was, you know, her daughter's mom, you know, her daughter was always coming over to my house. Her daughter and my daughter played together all the time. I had met her daughter's father because he was a friend of my ex-husband's. But I never met the mom. But everything that I had heard about the mother was just, oh, so horrible. And it was like when I got ready to drop my child off at her house, I'm thinking to myself, I'm really going to let my child stay here at this woman's house who's just like the Wicked Witch of the West. And mm-hmm. I knew because she had trusted her child with me, I had to entrust my child with her. And she was not nice when I dropped her off. I ain't even going to go into details, but I had an opinion of who she was. But had the dad been honest with her, this is how we met.
Oh, okay.
That's how we met.
This is how we met. The same word she used to describe me is the same word I used to describe her. And it's so funny because we now, you know, laugh about it, but it was one of those situations where had the dad had just been honest with her and said where his child was going, hadn't done the dropping the daughter off or putting the daughter in a situation to spend time with these multiple women. It could have been, you know, a situation where he could have been honest with Niecy. He could have explained to her, but no, his past practice was, I get my daughter for the weekend, and if I'm busy, I'm just going to leave her with one chick while I go deal with another chick. So, Niecy, thank you so much for sharing. Maybe now everybody will understand how we are just so, like, best friends, and it's just one of those funny stories. So we are almost out of time again. I don't even know how we get into the Red Room and we get here, but we are, you know, about to wrap up another show, another week. Next week, I'm just so excited. I have an idea for next week's topic, but I'm waiting for somebody to give me, you know, something a little different. But I'm just, I just work on what I feel and wait for somebody to tell me something else. I can't leave out the last segment of the show, but before I do, I have to go ahead and, you know, give my plug for the book. I mean, this is my passion. It is, you know, what I do. I just also want to tell you guys, you need to look out for another book that's coming out before I even talk about my own. Our co-host, James, is our next biggest author. I cannot tell you how excited I am for his book. When you read it, it's going to bring you to a place of understanding yourself, understanding others, making you search deep within yourself to find things that you may not have realized about yourself. He puts me in a place where it makes me be like, how'd you do that to me? You're making me think. And I'm a thinker. So he really just kind of makes me, you know, just step up my game, and I'm just so excited and just love the fact that he is in my life and that we are just so, you know, in this everything that we're doing together. If you have not read the book, please go online to shellylbrooks.com. It's S-H-E-L-L-Y-L Brooks, B-R-O-O-K-S.com. Get the book. It is truly something that I have had so many readers say that has really helped them deal with relationships, just, you know, how to come into yourself, and, you know, has really been an inspiration for them. It was a joy for me to write it. It was a blessing because it truly gave me an opportunity to help myself as I wrote it. Join us every week, 8 o'clock Thursday night in the Red Room. If you have topics, feedback, please email us at info@theredroom.com. Look forward to one of our live shows. We've got so much planned. I'm just so excited and really appreciate all the listeners that join us on the show and those who listen to our archive shows. Before I end the show tonight, there's one other thing that I want to say about tonight's topic. I want to say, stop thinking that therapy is only for crazy people. Again, therapy is not for crazy people. It should be an option for our children who have difficulty coping. Know the signs when your child has difficulty coping. I am such an advocate for therapy. Seek professional help for your children. Even if you are in denial and don't want professional help for yourself, whether it's for coping with a traditional co-parenting relationship, if it's your child dealing with divorce or separation of a relationship, whether it's the two parents are no longer together, know the signs. Some of the signs are manipulation, withdrawal, anger, unusual behavior. And know that this may be an opportunity for your child to be screaming out for help. So seek therapy for your children if they need it. Last but not least, my two cents is this. Our educational system needs to be addressed, and I seriously believe this, and I think it possibly needs to be, revised to address the educational needs that our children of a modern-day society need to understand and prepare them for childhood. A typing class for a student, it's often an elective, and it's assigned to a student that they must pass in order to move to the next grade. Let's think about things that our children really need, and if we can't get it from an educational society, let's give it to them at home. Banking classes. parenting classes.
Yes, God.
These are things that they need to know and understand. This may be another show, but tonight it's just my two cents. I want to thank everybody for joining us in the Red Room tonight. I look forward to seeing you again. Thanks to my co-host, James, the hardest working man in Hotlanta, and my co-host, Sarah Lynn, and my regular every week caller, Niecy, my BFF. Thank you for joining us in the Red Room, and we will see you again next week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.